leader.
Order, order.
The harsh reality of being a minority government in a parliament ruled by its majority was exposed again this week as John Key's National-led administration scrambled to secure the 61 votes needed to pass legislation in this 121-seat House of Representatives. Once again, the House split right down the middle, this time over a Labour amendment to the government's Health and Safety Reform Bill, and that amendment defeated by the slimmest of margins, 61 to 60, as the highly complex and controversial bill crawled its way through the stage where the House forms itself into a committee and legislation is debated part by part and is subject to amendment. Introduced back in March last year, the bill replaces the Health and Safety and Employment Act of 1992 and the even older Machinery Act of 1950, when, in a simpler world, there were workers and bosses, who are now to become persons conducting a business or undertaking, or PCBU, while workers are defined as somebody who carries out work in any capacity for a PCBU, that taking in employees, contractors, trainees, those gaining work experience and volunteers. That's in the bill itself in six parts covering some 270 pages, which is accompanied by a government amendment or supplementary order paper or SOP, which is almost as big and contains the mechanism for classifying the degree of risk in various enterprises. Although the bill had been available since late last month, when it was reported back from the Transport and Industrial Relations Select Committee for its second reading, the controversial amendments classifying risk had still not been finalised on Tuesday, with relatives of some of the 29 men killed in the Pike River coal mine disaster in the public gallery waiting for the bill to enter its next stage. The debate actually began on Tuesday with this question for the Prime Minister, John Key, from the Leader of the Opposition, Andrew Little.
Given that since the 29 deaths at Pike River, around 290 more New Zealanders have died at work, despite his promise of better laws, does he seriously think he has done enough to protect Kiwis at work?
The Speaker, right Honourable Prime Minister.
I think the member is deliberately misleading the House. The correct number is 233.
In the time it takes for a researcher to get onto Google and text the answer back to the Chamber, the opposition leader came back with this.
Point of order, Andrew Little.
Mr Speaker, I seek leave to table a report from WorkSafe New Zealand confirming that since 2010 there have been a total of 299 workplace deaths in New Zealand.
Order, leave us sought to table that particular document. Is there any objection? There is none. It can be tabled.
Up in the beehive, the Prime Minister's staff had also been on the Google.
Point of order, the Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, I seek leave to table a WorkSafe New Zealand report that shows quite clearly that since the Pike River mine, there have been 233 fatalities.
Leave has thought to table that particular document. Is there any objection? There is none. It can be tabled.
So with two documents on the table, both from the same source, WorkSafe New Zealand, one reporting 233 deaths and the other 299, Mr Little put this question to the Prime Minister.
In light of the presence in around Parliament today of some of the families of Pike River victims, is the real reason for the delay in the passage of the Health and Safety Reform Bill because of internal divisions in the National Party and difficulties with support parties?
Mr Speaker, no, there's a genuine desire and also a need to work with our support partners to actually get the legislation correct.
Andrew Little then asked Mr Key the $64 million question about whether farming would be classified as a high-risk business in the legislation.
Does he stand by his statement that, quotes, there have been too many deaths on farm for there not to be changes, end quotes, and if so, will he guarantee that agriculture will be included as a high-risk industry under the Health and Safety Reform Bill?
Stand by my statement. No, I wouldn't guarantee that agriculture with employees of 20 or less would be deemed high risk. What the government will do is take the best advice, and the minister will be introducing that tomorrow.
The Minister for Workplace Relations and Safety is Michael Woodhouse, and he duly kicked off the Health and Safety Reform Bill's committee stage after Wednesday's general debate with these thoughts.
We can pass all the laws, rules and regulations we like. What will make the fundamental change, and is making the fundamental change, to keeping people healthy and safe at work is a change in behaviour and attitude. And that behoves us all to do that and to work across business, across workers, across directors and across everybody to ensure that we achieve that.
Then, as promised by his Prime Minister, Mr Woodhouse tabled the SOP containing the risk classifications, drawing this immediate response from Phil Twyford, one of Labor's members on the select committee that had considered the bill.
It has been substantially weakened by the carve-out in the bill that effectively exempts firms with fewer than 30 employees from the requirement to allow the appointment or election of health and safety representatives when requested. It is going to carve out from the provisions in this bill more than 300,000 New Zealand employees, or a quarter of the workforce, perhaps.
Phil Twyford's Labour colleague Sue Moroney said the bill had been with the committee for 5 or 6 weeks.
And went nowhere, and did nothing. And today we find this document, this is the SOP put forward by the Minister, with a range of amendments and changes that the Select Committee could have been considering while it sat idle for 5 or 6 weeks, while the National Party sorted out its internal politics.
Among questions that might have been better sorted out in the committee rooms was this one.
What makes a worm farm more dangerous than a cattle farm?
The Minister cautioned Sue Moroney against making light of deaths and injuries in farming activities classified under miscellaneous.
In the category of other livestock farming, of which worm farming is one, there were 11 people killed at work and more than 1,000 serious injuries. Now, well, the member asked how many were killed on dairy farms. We could stratify this any way we like. We could say some forestry is in but other forestry is out. Some livestock farming is in but other livestock farming is out.
But Sue Moroney wasn't going to stop at worm farms.
Why is mini golf more dangerous than actual golf? Why is putting up curtains in a building more dangerous than demolishing a building? Why is driving a bus full of tourists more dangerous than driving a bus full of schoolchildren?
The Honourable Michael Woodhouse.
The fact that an organisation may not be required to have a health and safety rep does not let them off the hook. All PCBUs, all workers, will be required to participate in health and safety at work.
The Minister for Workplace Relations and Safety, Michael Woodhouse, still in the chamber, sitting beside the committee chairman, as the debate on his health and safety reform bill dragged on towards Thursday's adjournment at 6, fulfilling this prediction from Assistant Speaker Trevor Mallard at the very start.
It is my expectation that this will be one of the more contentious debates and I think it's generally agreed one of the longer debates that we're likely to have in this Parliament.
Just how long won't be known until next week, when the debate enters its 8th hour on Tuesday for the completion of the 3 remaining parts and the 6 schedules. More work for Michael Woodhouse, while his Cabinet colleague Murray McCulley was the subject of this question on Tuesday for the Prime Minister from Greens co-leader James Shaw.
Will he stand down, the Honourable Murray McCulley, as Minister of Foreign Affairs, while the Auditor-General investigates the Saudi Arabia Food Security Partnership? If not, why not?
Right, Honourable Speaker. Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, no, because I do not believe it would be appropriate to do so in the circumstances.
And another milestone this week is Mr Key's Finance Minister, Bill English, put his 7th budget to bed with the passing on Tuesday of the Appropriation 2015-16 Estimates Bill through its 3rd and final reading. Now from the storms and squalls of the debating chamber to the calmer waters of the committee rooms with Rhys Lyon.
Pollution of rivers by the government-owned farming company LandCorp was the subject of a petition calling for a moratorium on conversions of LandCorp properties to dairy farms. The petition is in the name of Green MP Catherine Delahunty, who presented it to the Primary Production Committee on Thursday.
There's a great public interest in this issue, a great passion for clean water for all reasons. And when Mahi Drysdale gets up and says, my lake, which is an iconic rowing lake, has turned pink and is sick, I think that we're at huge international reputational risk in that area. And the farmers downstream who signed my petition were very clear that they're doing their bit downstream. They're trying. And they feel undermined when the government farmer is actually proposing something that will create even more environmental cost to them.
Catherine Delahunty was accompanied in presenting the petition by Massey University Professor of Freshwater Ecology, Russell Death, who outlined the science behind concerns about LandCorp's plans in the Waikato.
LandCorp seemed to be planning to add an additional 25 to 27 or 43,000 cows. As I said, each cow produces in the order of about 14 times the waste of an individual human. If you add that up, the sums come to about 350,000 people, so that's a population of 1.5 times of Hamilton. And the thing is about that waste that it's not treated. It's going onto the soil and then directly into the waterways. It's going to add somewhere in the order of maybe 1,200 extra tonnes of nitrogen, maybe an extra 300 tonnes from the support land. However, it's going to be adding it into the Waikato River, which is already over-allocated in terms of the amount of nitrates which are in there. Adding those cows, increasing the nitrogen on the land and then into the waterways will result in degradation of the river.
Back to Catherine Delahunty, who pointed to another potential problem in Landcorp's plans.
Linda Te Aho, who's the negotiator for Ngāti Koroki Kahukura from Waikato, she said that the conversions are actually against the purpose of their treaty settlement. So I think that's going to be an emerging issue for them as well, that they're seeing the conversions as actually an undermining of the settlement, which, you know, governments put a lot of work into their settlement, so it is quite a serious situation.
Ms. Delahunty urged the committee to look at what could be done to rein in the river pollution.
Because I'm aware that sometimes petitions come before us and we basically just accept them. I'd love to see this committee discuss some more proactive action around Landcorp, because I think it's in the national interest as well as in the interest of the Waikato waterways.
Green MP Catherine Delahunty presenting that petition to the Primary Production Committee. Earlier in the week, on Wednesday, the Social Services Committee heard submissions on the Support for Children in Hardship Bill and heard from UNICEF National Advocacy Manager Deborah Morris-Travers, who pointed to evidence suggesting a $25 increase in benefits wasn't adequate for many beneficiary families.
Most families will need an increase of income of between $100 to $200. So with that in mind, our submission to the Select Committee proposes that you amend the bill so that the bill provides not just $25 a week to each household, but $25 per week for every child. We know that in terms of the larger families where poverty is more prevalent, that actually the $25 a week is wholly inadequate. So we recommend that you increase it to $25 per child.
UNICEF National Advocacy Manager Deborah Morris-Travers. And also making a submission on that aspect of the bill was Wellington Community Justice Project volunteer Ruby King.
We think that while this increase will somewhat alleviate financial strain, it is not an effective long-term solution. We therefore suggest that Parliament, in addition to increasing benefit rates, considers adopting a more comprehensive approach to tackle child poverty. Fundamental issues such as access to education, mental health treatment and proper housing will provide a more long-term solution than simply increasing benefit rates.
Ruby King, who had a busy Wednesday, appearing later in the morning before the Law and Order Committee to make a submission on the electronic monitoring of offenders legislation.
It is our suggestion that electronic monitoring should be paired with other, more intensive forms of community rehabilitation. In Norway, for example, electronic monitoring is paired with heavy focus on individually adjusted supervision, including further measures such as sound knowledge of the offender, tight supervision, mandatory motivational and crime prevention programs, and other such measures, often specific to the offender. This has proven to be of great success. We suggest the Select Committee makes it clear in its report to Parliament that electronic monitoring alone will not serve offenders or New Zealand communities' needs in reintegrating offenders back into the community and keeping our communities safe.
Wellington Community Justice Project volunteer Ruby King. In total, there were 15 committee meetings held during the week.
That report from Rhys Lyon. Back in the chambers, some sad news from the Speaker, David Carter, on Tuesday.
Honourable members, I regret to inform the House of the death on 17 August 2015 of the Honourable George Frederick Gear, CMG QSO, who represented the North Shore electorate from 1966 to 1990. From 1972 to 1984, he held a number of portfolios, including Minister of Health, Minister of Social Welfare and Minister of Transport.
And from the current Minister of Transport, Simon Bridges, in his capacity as Deputy Leader of the House, this preview of the week ahead in his business statement on Thursday.
When the House resumes on Tuesday, 25 August, the government will look to continue the Health and Safety Reform Bill and a number of other bills on the order paper. Wednesday is Members' Day.
With the weekly general debate on Wednesday and question times, that'll leave the government just over 8 hours of chamber time to pass its health and safety reform bill through its remaining stages. More details on our website, parliamenttoday.co.nz. I'm Tom Frewen, and this programme was made with funding from Parliament.